Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's right, and no shortage of topics, too, to enjoy on Twitch or wherever you may be enjoying the Waddle and Sylvie show every day right here at 2 o'clock. Just a little sports happened, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Since we left the air, us at 6, Bleck and Abdallah at 8 last night. We've had just a few happenings going on.
I would say so. And the top happening was what we saw from Lucas Giolito. A no-no. And a dirty, filthy no-no at that. With what? What was there? 13 strikeouts and 30 missed bats?
Right. It was the most swings and misses since Nolan Ryan in 1990.
That's pretty special.
Like, you know, they rank these things. They could tell you how good, you know, based on fly balls to the outfield, and the last out was one, and a great catch.
I've seen,
but they rank those things on who's most dominant.
Yeah, I've seen no hitters where guys were fortunate because of the guys around them, or there are a couple of hard hit balls that are hit right at guys. That was really, I mean, this sounds really silly, so give me a break here.
He dominated that no-hitter.
That's what I was going to say, though.
He dominated.
Like, there are 50-point performances in basketball that look better than other 50-point performances. That was a no-no that just left you, to use a word that I think we used last night on Twitter. I was titillated. I was baseball titillated.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Bleck, did you dump that, or are we good?
Oh, we good.
All right.
You dumping that? It's not a dirty word. Why, is it a dirty word because it's associated with a Sox player, huh, Mr. Cub?
What?
Is that what it was?
You got to go there. I'm already getting the bandwagon stuff. And oh, my gosh.
How did Phillips do yesterday? What's up with that?
Oh, it was, look, if you are a fan of baseball, and I'm a Cubs fan, you know this. The way I classify myself, I am a Cubs fan. I am not a fan of both teams, but I am not a Sox hater.
I will attest to that after years and years and years. In fact, I think I almost had to go after John Greenberg last night because he came after you on Twitter.
It's just everybody. You know, it's the way people work these days. And he's as snarky as anybody.
Yeah, he is.
And
he's a Pirates fan, right?
Yeah.
How them Pirates doing, Johnny? Johnny boy, anyway. How are your Pirates? Same as my Reds. I know. I get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the more the merrier. And this what a season it's been for that. It's just been so you were asking about the Cubs. If for a one TV night, so I did not go to the basement. I was outside on my outdoor TV. I was watching the gazebo. Then I went to the bedroom. And it was a good night.
Ooh, yes. Shakalaka.
For nothing more than to lay down in my bed. There was nothing more than that.
Did you throw a no-hitter as well?
No. I think I've been no-hit for the last several weeks, actually.
Swing and a miss.
And my wife's got a perfect game cooking.
No walks, no hits, no ads.
Take a pitch, Sylvie. Come on.
Take a pitch. Well, yeah, look at a couple of pitches, will ya?
And but the point of all this stupid
stuff.
You know
what ends up happening when you were gripping the bat handle too tight, weren't you? Is that what you were doing?
I'm 48. I'm not gripping the bat handle. Right. I'm lucky to grip the bat handle all at this point. The point of all this is you didn't have to worry about multiple TVs. The Cubs, after the Grand Slam, you were just like, okay, see you later.
I'm out.
You know, no pitching now here with the relief. And then I knew that you knew that was one of those nights. They weren't going to hang.
Yeah.
It's just one of those nights.
By the way, did Chatwood just walk someone again?
Yeah, back to the Chatwood jokes. This is so unoriginal. You've had two years of that.
Even the basketball game was a blowout.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you. Right. It was, to me, I thought last night was going to be the first night where the general sports fan, not the NBA guys like us.
Yeah.
The four of us love the NBA.
Yep.
And we're there for the party regardless. I thought last night was going to be the first night because of how Doncic won that last game and that it's 2-2 and there's a threat of a major upset.
Yeah.
I thought last night was going to be one of those first nights when the general sports fan was coming over to the NBA But because of the score and the way that game trended the entire night, there was no need to stay with it.
There's no drama. None. All the drama was with your Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, just
in general, everybody's Chicago White Sox. And listen, not to be the cliche guy, but I'm telling you, and I know that everyone has talked about it. I don't know if it offends White Sox fans, but
it does with some.
I know.
I'll tell you that.
But they do. This is reminiscent of the 2015 Cubs, and that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
People think that we have to bring up the Cubs
if we're talking about
the Sox.
Well, we're a two-baseball team town.
But it's so and we talk about our experiences with different teams, whether it's about comparing one Bears team to another, one baseball team to another. Like you said, there's two baseball teams. Like, I mean, they were even managed 2014, the Cubs, by Ricky Renteria.
Well, and
Jake Arrieta and Giolito have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, and look, the whole teams, both of these teams. Like, back in 2015, you were expecting your team to be better, but you didn't expect them to be as good as they were in 15. I think there were a lot of people that were expecting the White Sox to be good this year, but maybe they've exceeded some people's expectations, at least from an individual performance perspective.
And they're winning again today, this afternoon. Yeah. And Giolito may hop on with us after today's game.
He should.
Yeah, well, Thursday he joined us last Thursday.
After a good outing, he joined us.
Good. He struck out 13 in the last outing.
Right, and then the next time he goes out and takes the bump, he throws a no-no. I would think that he should join us every week. No pay. But, I mean, just join us just for the sake of...
Well, why would he want to do that, then?
I'm just, you know what, for the mojo factor.
Okay. Look, Arrieta in his best 2 years in the Cubs uniform joined us every week.
Exactly right. So what happened to him when he was no longer joining us on a daily basis?
He lost.
Or a weekly basis?
Yeah, he didn't get a contract and he had to leave town.
It didn't go as well.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold that over Lucas's head, but I'm just saying, I'm looking out for him.
Yeah. So the Sox are winning 4-0. If you want to weigh in... anybody watching the game last night, what was your experience? It will go down in history as one of the rarest sporting events we've ever seen, one of the most historical sporting events that no one ever attended in this town. That often, whenever there's a big game that happened in this town, you will have a boatload of people who say, I was at that game. I was there.
You know what? And I'll say this, and it's just echoing what others have said. Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, I think any announcing duo has a difficult time announcing a game with no fans in the stands because I think announcers, having done a few games in my lifetime, you get jacked up by the noise and the ambiance of the stadium as well.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I thought they were fantastic. I thought that they were able to bring the excitement and they hit all the high notes and all the right notes. Calling an exciting game without the excitement of 35 or 45,000 people in the stands,
and like Benetti could a lot of times, if it was a busy crowd, could just let the crowd sort of take over.
Right.
And in TV, you let the he's more of a radio guy now because there's no crowd and none of that. He's got to describe everything. And early in the game, I don't know if you remember, they had a power surge where they were kicked off the air. So it was some night last night on the South Side for NBC Sports, Benetti and Stone. And for Sox fans, 332-3776, how will you remember that game? And we asked Giolito last week about the ceiling, and he said World Series.
Yep.
Like, what are Sox fans' expectations now? We're at the halfway point. Matter of fact, I think today is the halfway point, or yesterday was. But...
This is, yes.
They're 18-12, right?
And 12, so this is game 31 for them.
So they should be, if they hold on, 19-12. And Merkin, by the way, like, can we end to the jinx talk? Can we forever?
I've never believed in jinxes. Ever.
And especially during no-hitter, that like an announcer can't say no-hitter, that a friend can't say no-hitter, that if you... Merkin was texting us at 7:45 last night that Giolito had no-hit stuff.
Yeah.
And we were making fun of him. But Pat Boyle even said, thanks for the third inning no-hitter warning, Merk. And
he's like, the third inning is a little early to actually draw attention to it. I bet you there's four or five instances that Cubs pitchers early in the season have gone three innings without giving up hits so far.
But it was the Pirates.
Yes.
And it was a guy who was looking really sharp early.
No, that's true.
And Merck's like, trust me, they're not getting ahead.
Yeah, he was right. He's usually the guy
who jinxes.
Yeah. I don't believe in jinxes, but for the sake of this conversation, we call it being murked.
Yes.
I mean, it's a verb. We've turned it into a verb. When Merck comes on and says, that'll be the last hit they get tonight, next thing you know, they're pouring 10 across the plate.
Yeah, yeah.
But Merck nailed it early in that game.
He did. And then there's the Bears news that developed this morning. It was weird. A lot of people thought that David Montgomery had a knee injury. But it turns out it is not a knee injury.
It's growing.
He had to be carted off with a groin injury, which can be serious as well. Matt Nagy's hoping that it won't be serious.
He's a really important component to that offense. Remember, I mean, we've all said what we want to see is a more concerted effort to be more balanced and run the football. And he's the guy that's going to get the majority of the carries in this offense. So, and a guy that can also be a viable receiver in the passing game.
Well, so because of all that, Waddle, what do they do?
I think you're going to have to sign somebody. Look, I don't think that Tariq Cohen, nor do I believe that Cordarrelle Patterson are guys that you want to carry the load in the manner that David Montgomery was going to be asked to work. I don't think they are 15 to 22 carry a game guys. They're better used in different, you know, specialist ways. I think they'll pick up some of the slack, but I think they're going to have to find a running back. I think that, finding a running back isn't easy, but it's easier to find a running back than it is maybe some other positions. And by the way, this injury update is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at chooserush.org. So, look, the hope is that David Montgomery, that this won't last long. And he'll be able to contribute sooner rather than later. But I saw a little bit of the video of it, and it didn't look good.
Yeah, Black, we have a soundbite from Matt Nagy here. If you could play Nagy 1,
yep.
And here he explains what happened with David Montgomery today.
Yeah, we don't know the severity. You know, he has a groin. He ended up doing it in an individual drill. It just slipped out from him.
Got a groin.
On that, so that's where he's at. So we don't know anything else from that.
And then here's Nagy saying, if Montgomery injury is significant, how do you proceed?
Brian and I aren't there yet just because we don't know.
Yeah.
You try to stay as positive as you can. You don't know really what the answer is or where things are at. And then there's different. Again, we talked about contingency. This is the year of the contingency. So now this is one without COVID as an injury. What are our options? And do we like where we're at right now, or do we feel like we need to go outside of the building? That's all stuff that we'll discuss, and whatever we do, we'll do it so that it helps us. But for sure, we got to look at all that.
They brought in CJ Procise, right? Didn't they bring him in for a workout?
For a tryout, right.
I always thought that he had, in a very limited, obviously a limited capacity, had a little wiggle to him that was interesting. I know he's had some injury issues as well, right, fellas?
Yeah, well, when he came in, I looked at his stats because I always remember him in Seattle. But his production is very low.
Yeah. No, I know. But your options? I mean, Devontae Freeman, I think, is a free agent, correct?
Right. Uh-huh. I mean, that's a better option, isn't it?
Yeah. My name is I'm Big Allen. I hit dingers. I mean, like, that is the theme of business right now for that baseball team on the south side.
Is that Encarnacion carrying the parrot around the bases?
I got dizzy because the parrot just came out.
I got the game on, too. It's 5-0 now, White Sox. Like, I'm already chalking this up to a win. You know, like,
I would
hope so. They're playing the Pirates. They're rolling right now. Like, this team is just rolling. And, like, as we ping-pong back and forth between the Bears and the Sox, it's just one of those things. I will never penalize any team. I said on yesterday's show, the one thing you looked at, like, forget about penalizing teams for beating bad teams. What you didn't want to see the White Sox do is, coming off that Cubs series, is have a letdown last night and in this series.
Chris wants to know what happens when you lose to the Tigers, though.
Well, we could talk about all that. I know it's look lifeless the day after.
Right?
That's what they do. Like, Javi hits two home runs, they score a bunch of runs and they do a bunch of dances, and then the next day they get a bunch of people on and they don't get them in.
The chestiness is great right now, right?
With Sox fans?
Yeah, for a team that's won nothing yet, the chestiness is great.
Well, no. But Sylvie had the topic yesterday about you can only beat who's on your schedule.
Yeah. Right.
The Tigers were on the schedule yesterday, and the Cubs could not beat them. The White Sox took care of the Tigers last week.
And they're taking care of the Pirates right now.
That's all I'm pointing out.
312-332-3776.
Fight!
So there's a lot on the table. What do you think of last night's no-hitter? What is your enthusiasm and excitement level for this White Sox team? Are you now dreaming big this year? We knew the rebuild was going to blossom. Not everyone knew if they were going to be great this year. If the season ended today, guess who they would play? It would be a juicy matchup. We'll tell you about that. Cubs fans talking about this is not a this week problem with this all or nothing stuff either.
Settle down, Sylvie. It's one game.
This is not a this week problem. This has been a 3-year problem, and it's cost hitting coaches and a manager his job, and the players remain the same. You weigh in at 332-3776, and for Bears fans, what do you do now? We don't know how long David Montgomery is going to miss, but do they bring in a Devontae Freeman? Do they try to get by hoping that Montgomery's injury isn't serious? So a lot on the table. We have our Bears judges table coming up at 3. We'll tell you what that is all about. It involves the quarterbacks, and it will give you your best look at who's winning this competition with only 2 weeks to go. All that coming up on Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So much to get to. Your phone calls, voice your opinion, let your voice be heard. 312-332-3776. Sox winning again today after throwing a no-hitter yesterday from Lucas Giolito. The Cubs lost last night to the Tigers.
Yeah.
And the Bears have lost David Montgomery for how long? We don't know. Do they sign a free agent?
We were told today that Nick Foles won the contest definitively for the day. That's what I read on Twitter today.
And that's the great thing of what we're doing at 3, if I do say so myself. We're going to have 7 of the beat reporters on the show who have covered the most practices. And they're going to tell us how they have it scored so far, who's winning and who they think is going to win.
Right.
So who's winning currently and who they think is going to win.
Because you may have the theory or the feeling or the thought that one guy is beating the other guy out at this point or has played better than the other guy, but you may feel that that other guy will ultimately get the start for a reason that you'd like to explain to us.
Sure. And you know, every now and then one article will flash up and, did you see what what's-his-name wrote? He said that this guy's winning the competition. What we're going to do now is get you all of them in a row.
Yeah.
To tell you, and then we'll tabulate the 7 votes. It's going to be our own JD,
yep.
Dan Weider from the Tribune, Kevin Fishbane from the Athletic, Mark Potash from the Sun-Times, Dion Miller from ABC7, Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times, and JJ Stankovic from NBC Sports Chicago.
That's a good crew.
So we'll find out. I believe it's going to be 5-2 Foles or 6-1 Foles.
I think after today, that may be the case. I also, at some point today, before we get out of here, remind me, Chris, I want to address something I heard. Cap and Jay Hood had Brian Billick on. I did not hear that, but I did hear a clip that was played on Carmen Yurko's show that left me a little perplexed that I'd like to get to on the quarterback
competition. Yeah, we could do that coming up. Yeah, for sure. Floyd in Lamont. I've been looking forward to this call. Floyd, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Well, I received my Tribune this morning, delivered to the house, and there's not word one in there about the no-hit game last night. If it would have been a Cub team that happened to do it, it'd be all over the front page. I had to run to the convenience store and go get a Sun-Times just to see if if it had been that one. What do you make of that?
I think if it was the Cubs, Floyd, that they probably would have had a special souvenir edition on the Tribune on your doorstep at like 5 a.m. Yes.
Floyd, you know what I remember about the newspapers? I remember you'd get a morning paper and an afternoon paper. There'd be two newspapers.
The extra edition.
You'd get double the pleasure, double the fun with newspapers back in the day. You'd go down to the corner. The boy would be out there. He'd be like, hey, extra, extra. The White Sox just beat the Pirates in a day game. You could get that newspaper right there. You could dirty your fingers, and then you'd go home, and your food would be ready. Your drink would be made. You'd put your feet up. You'd start a fire. And you would listen to the radio.
Why are you starting a fire in August?
It's cold. Times were cold back then. Was cold. There was no global warming yet.
Floyd, did you voice your opinion with the Tribune? Did you call them and tell them that that's unacceptable?
Well, my subscription is due. I just got a bill in the mail a few days ago, and I'm contemplating what I'm going to do about it.
Give them another chance.
You give them what for, Floyd? Don't listen to Tom Waddle. You call that Tribune and you give them what for? Box their ears.
Does Zell still own the Tribune or what?
No. I think that's three or four owners ago, isn't it?
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm just wondering. Maybe he's got his, the finger in the pie still or
no,
something.
No, I don't
you
think
know?
So.
What kind
I
of pie,
think so.
Floyd?
I don't think so. I saw him on CNBC Squawk Box
pie.
This morning. What? What did you just say, Floyd?
I can't fight
it. No, let it go. Don't stop it. Oh, you know.
You can't.
Why
you
did
can't.
You dump Floyd?
Did Floyd, out of all people who's waiting for the newspaper on his doorstep,
was
just
that
made a, that
wait,
reference?
Time out. First of all, was that Fred or Floyd? I didn't hear
think,
the name
or
right.
Do you think, or do you think that was Cap? Could that have been Hoodie?
No, he's not.
Could that have
no,
been
did
them trying to pay us back?
Did he use the phrase follicle pie?
Yes, right. Yes.
I love it.
But you can't
way
do
go,
that.
Floyd.
You
Why?
Can't do that. You
Why?
Can't do that. You just can't.
Somebody call the people in charge.
This isn't Revenge of the Nerds. You just can't make that reference on the Waddle
and
Sylvie.
That had to be Hoodie. That had to be Hoodie.
It had to be, yes.
Yeah, there's no way Floyd. There's no. Yes, we got caught.
You
I don't think so, guys.
No,
really?
Yeah, he's called before. It's
and,
not.
And
yeah.
Wait,
so
use the term follicle pie.
So how could he go with that reference and he's still upset about the newspaper in his driveway?
Well, he likes getting a newspaper every day.
I used to as well.
And he likes
to lie.
Balance coverage.
Speaking of, did you guys hear anything from Cap and Jay Hood about Abdallah's Mark in
no.
Batavia call?
You know what? I think that they just decided to ignore it and move forward.
I think so, too.
I don't think that's a bad
idea.
I
think now Mark in Batavia becomes a regular caller. On.
Yes. Floyd. I think Floyd.
I feel bad for any Mark in Batavia that ever wants to call them.
Yeah, I think Mark in Batavia is a guy. I do. I think we've...
listen... I don't know if we got or we didn't, but I want Floyd to be a regular caller.
Yes, we
even
need
if I'm getting got, I want him to be on every week.
We as long as he doesn't use those terms.
Oh, I thought that was somewhat benign. It's
look, if we're doing a podcast, that's fine. I'm not a prude.
You just expose your prudish ways.
I mean, technically, this is a podcast.
I got out of my chair and had to walk around. It's like, did Floyd just say what I think Floyd said? I didn't think that was a term that Floyd would use.
Yeah.
Floyd's back. He wants to know if he can come back on. He said, you cut me off.
Well, cut him off because the reference, or you guys cut him off. I don't know what's protocol here.
I think you tell him to keep it clean.
We bring Floyd back.
Floyd.
All right, Floyd.
I asked Floyd to give the Trib a second chance, so we should give Floyd a second chance.
Hey, Baker Square, you can't make those references, all right?
I understand, but I didn't think there was anything dirty about it.
I didn't either, Floyd, to be honest with you. I'm on Team Floyd.
All right, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We'll let Weeder know. He's with the Tribune.
That's right.
And we'll tell Dan that something needs a fixing with your newspaper, okay?
Yeah, back in the day, a no-hitter, and you guys are making big thing out of it, and it's not even in the paper.
Right.
That's true.
A month ago, you were craving for news. The Tribune sports section was like two pages, you know?
Floyd, did you watch all of the game last night?
I'm one of those nervous guys, you know? I flip on and off.
Really? Ooh. You were afraid that you watching would actually affect Giolito's performance?
I kind of feel that way at times. Yes, with all sports.
Do you get a rumble? Kind of a rumbling stomach for it? Do you physically get sick?
No.
Okay.
But I don't want to jinx them either.
Okay.
I played sports, and I would never wear the number 13. So what does that tell you?
Well, Concepcion as a kid growing up because of the number 13.
One of your greatest players and manager in franchise history, Ozzie Guillen wore 13.
That's right.
I know, but that's him. A lot of people liked it. But, yeah. But I'm superstitious to a certain
point. What other superstitions do you have, Floyd?
I don't do ladders, you know, go underneath ladders.
Neither do I, yeah. Not at all.
I'm just afraid the ladder's going to fall and knock me out. I don't feel it's like a bad luck thing.
Are you worried?
That's about it.
Okay.
Are you worried about if you step on a crack that you'll break your back?
No, I'm not like Mr. Monk on TV. You know, I'm not that bad.
How old of a man are you, Floyd, if I could ask?
Going to be 68.
All right. You sound great.
Yeah, you sound fantastic.
All right, we want to hear from you again in the future.
Don't be a stranger, Floyd.
Okay.
There you go. And where's our favorite guy from a nursing home who calls? He's got to give
Joe
it to you today.
Joliet?
Joe from Joliet has to give it to you because Waddle.
Why is he gonna give it to me?
Because
like,
you question
lack,
their pitching.
They still lack depth in their rotation. No doesn't change that.
332-3776. And Waddle thinks something that a former Super Bowl coach said on our radio station was stupid. You'll hear that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Love the call with Floyd. A lot of reaction there. My mom's the same way. She won't. She is a nervous watcher. And she turns stuff off.
Ugh.
And I say to her, I go, Mom, I go, look, one, you're not in control. Two, you're going to you miss greatness that way. Okay, yes, you may be let down a few times. No big deal. But you're going to miss greatness.
I love your mom. Barb is a diehard Cubs fan. But I agree with you 100%. If you're especially over the last 4 or 5 years with the Cubs, how many times did she miss great moments in Cubs recent history? I mean, if you're turning off the television because you can't watch it.
Right. Yes.
Come on, Barb.
She's like I think a lot of older people are like that, where they think like them not watching will make it better. And they like to go back and be pleasantly surprised. I'm like, then you miss the best stuff.
Yes, I'm with you.
You miss the best stuff.
Yeah. By the way, I saw your mom posted a picture of the dog today.
Oh, did she?
Yes, because today's National Dog Day.
And she's a big dachshund.
Yeah.
My whole family has had dachshunds through the years, and she's really big now with Rizzo. She's always loved Rizzo, and now that Rizzo has a dachshund himself, Kevin, she's very excited.
Yes.
So
awesome.
I think that's her fourth dachshund. Fourth or fifth.
We called them wiener dogs when I was a kid.
Wiener dogs, yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's acceptable. And so I saw this here on Twitter, the Bears beat writers who will be joining us at 3 for the judges table. They have tweeted out that they only have 2 more practices to watch in its entirety. So what we're getting today on this judges table is like there's not a lot more they can see. 2 more practices. Saturday is the last practice, and they're going to do it at Soldier Field. That they could watch in
Which
its
is,
entirety.
It's funny that came out at that time. Well, I asked the fellas, Chris and Adam, I said, when do you think that he'll name a starter? And I think Adam said maybe Wednesday of the first game. And I don't think there's any way, A, that you could keep it a secret, and B, that you would even want to for that reason. I don't know why you feel – I mean, listen – maybe you think the Detroit Lions will be at a disadvantage if they don't know who to prepare for.
Well, Mitch is an all-star against them, so maybe they would have to scout differently.
I just don't. I mean, how are they going to keep that a secret?
You just don't announce
I
it.
Just I mean, don't. I know, but I don't know that you could keep that
well, if
a
you
secret.
Don't tell either of them.
Well, I think you would have
you
to tell
have
the team
to.
Because of the reps.
Listen, right.
But you would
Sylvie's
just
right.
tell that you would have to tell them.
But Wednesday is when you start game planning. I know they're already starting because it's the first game, but Wednesday is when you start installation.
Yeah, but you got to start. You got to, first of all, you're going to be practicing on Tuesday. But now, remember, you may not have any pads on, but
Waddle, reporters aren't in the building. You know, no, I know. When I was on the beat, I used to get a lot of good stuff, but just during open locker room without my microphone, just talking to guys.
Yeah.
You know, and not interviewing them, just talking to guys. And then you, like, now there's no face-to-face contact. So maybe no, maybe they would be, it would be easier for the team to keep it a secret.
It may be, but like, first of all, you're going to start, I would think, you're going to start giving your starter more snaps with the ones sooner rather than later. I hit dingers. I just think you are. It is.
Was that
a
Loy?
No, that was.
Yeah, that's a Loy.
Yeah. I thought you meant Abreu.
That's a Loy. 8-0. Yeah. He's got the bait. He's got the chest flesh going today too. 8-0 White Sox.
Yeah, it is hot. I mean, one of the hottest days of the year.
And I hit dingers.
And they hit dingers.
How about a Loy yesterday too? Like, next thing you knew, they were celebrating. The next thing you know, they're tending to a Loy.
Yeah, he was down. I remember. Yes.
I guess Encarnacion backed up and backed into him.
That's an opposite field dinger, too. Oh,
yeah. Well, it makes sense after the celebration that would happen, because it seems like the only thing Aloy can do is bat, which is perfect.
He hits dingers. He's like that kid.
He hits dingers.
Yeah.
His name, he's
and then hit dingers.
Like a lot of Sox fans say, it's okay to admit, he's a little clumsy.
Yeah.
Aloy's a little clumsy.
Listen, you're going to have him as – you can't have him in left field late in games. Really important. If you get to the postseason and you got a one-run game, you can't have him in left field, can you?
No.
I mean, what you're going to be doing some double switch, and you're going to be doing whatever it takes to keep him in the lineup as your DH. But you're bringing in a defensive replacement.
Yeah. Did you see who they would play today if the season ended?
I did not.
The Yankees.
I'll bring it.
It would be the 4-5 matchup.
Do you know how many dingers would fly out of the ballpark in that matchup?
That's good Dingerville right there, isn't
that
it?
That is Dingerville.
Yeah. And it would be Cubs in Colorado right now as well. Those would be – both teams almost have identical records. And it's pretty incredible.
I like it. By the way, you teased the – There was something that was played, like Brian Billick. We all love Brian Billick. He's like a professor. He's like a very cerebral guy. Not only was, you know, he's a Super Bowl head coach, but he's also really good on NFL Network. He said something today that left me, like, more than scratching my head.
So what? He was on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yeah, and he was talking about the quarterback derby and the competition and how it may play out and why you may go lean one direction or the other. And I just was like, I'd like to talk to you about that.
Okay, let's take a listen to it.
I haven't heard it yet, so this is good.
The question was, how would you handle the Bears quarterback competition? Here's the answer.
Well, it's tough in that again, what are you going to base it on? Obviously, as unique a training camp as we've ever seen, no preseason games, no scrimmages against other teams. So you're going to have to rely on, obviously, the day-to-day practices and the scrimmage against your own team. And I don't know. You know, I don't know if that is really enough to be able to distinguish and definitively say, okay, this guy should be the starter over the other. We've talked about this a great deal on the network when I've been doing the shows. Less to do with the abilities of the players, more do just, I don't know how you bypass your number one overall pick. You go with Nick Foles. I mean, I certainly understand why would you do that, his experience and what he's been able to do when he has started. But then if it doesn't go well, how do you go back to Mitchell Trubisky? I can see starting a Mitchell Trubisky, and if he doesn't take that next step, if he's not that guy, then going to a Nick Foles, that you can sell. But to start with Nick Foles, and if it doesn't go well, and it may not be anything to do with Nick Foles, it just may be that the way the schedule falls or whatever, and you're not particularly winning, and you got to do that thing that changes the impetus of your season. How do you go back to a guy who you took number one overall, but basically said to start the season, we don't think you're good enough to be our starting quarterback?
So this is where I when I heard that clip, I said to myself, why? Let's just assume that Matt would, just for the sake of discussion, that Matt has had a predetermined idea who he thinks Mitch is after seeing him for 2 full years. And he comes into this whole competition trusting Nick Foles more. Why in the world would you make a decision based on how you feel the psyche of your potential backup quarterback would be harmed?
You know the psyche already. He turned off the TVs.
Right, not
he
just
had to
that.
Be given a hug at the Rams game.
You don't if you think that Nick is the best choice to start, you don't sit him because you're worried about whether or not you have to go to Mitch as a backup and you may have hurt his confidence. First of all, like you said, this is his fourth year. This isn't a rookie. Not only that, but like if the psyche of your backup quarterback is something that is going to influence your decision, then you need to get rid of that guy and
bring the wrong guy to begin with.
Right. Bring me a different backup in whose psyche isn't going to be ruined by not getting the opening snap of the season.
They've made their bed anyway by saying that Mitch is in his fifth year isn't picked up.
Right.
That was the big move.
Right.
They said to him,
that's the key to your psyche.
We don't believe that you're a long-term guy unless you do something crazy.
Right.
And then we'll have to pay you at the end of the year or franchise you.
Yeah,
that's the move they made. Now it's about which quarterback does the head coach trust more?
Yes, there's no question about it. We keep hearing, and we're going to elaborate on this when the seven fine journalists join us here in a bit. But like, listen, to me, this is really simple. I said it yesterday. I think it comes down to who do you believe in a tight situation will screw up, and you choose the other guy.
Right. Yeah. And Mitch hasn't wowed you. Like, to me, it would have been, hey, if Mitch wows you and they're both really good, but you see that Mitch took a really big step, then maybe you could sell it. Hey, he's still the young guy. He's still our guy, our incumbent, the guy that we saw something in, and the light bulb went on. And yes, Foles was good too, but at least Mitch elevated his game. But if they're both just, like go with the guy who's won the Super Bowl and that you trust more.
Well, that's why it just kind of caught me. Did it catch you weird as well? Like, you can't make a decision based on how you think your backup quarterback's psyche is going to be affected.
Right.
You just can't do that.
This season may be shortened. Like, time is of the essence. You can't afford a misstep early and just say, well, we got time to put Foles in eventually. Like, who knows? What if the season's only 12 games? You know, there's a pause in the middle for something. You know, what if it goes division only? Every game that you end up playing is important.
I think you nailed it, too. Like, listen, if Mitch was excelling, it's an easy decision. Like when Nick works best when he comes in relief. If Mitch hasn't established himself as the clear winner of this competition, then I don't think you're worrying about anybody's psyche. What you're doing is you're putting the guy under center that you, as the head coach and the offense coordinator, you put the guy you trust most under there.
Right. Yeah. You got Foles because A, of Mitch's accuracy, and B, his decision making. And none of that has changed this training camp thus far. So we're going to have this judges table coming up at 3. 7 beat writers will tell you who's winning the competition as of now. There's only 2 more practices they can watch. So this will be a really good update. I want to relive the Giolito no-hitter coming up next. We've got some really good audio for you to hear. That's next, and then the judges' table. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Check them out today at thehomeloanexpert.com. It only takes 5 minutes to see how much money they can save you by dropping your rate into the 2s. Find out how much money you can save today at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, no-hitter last night by Giolito. We just had him on Thursday. We may hear from him after today's game. Sox are leading the Pirates 8-0 with Keuchel on the mound. And they're creeping closer to first place. They're 18-12 and just a game and a half out of first.
Tied with the Indians, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. And with all those playoff spots, you would think they're virtually a shoo-in. I think their playoff percentage is like 97.6 right now.
97.6, you are correct, sir.
Yes, and their run differential is like
plus 34.
Yeah. Well, after today,
now,
I think it's higher.
Plus 80, plus 42.
It's one of the best in baseball.
Yeah.
And they're blossoming right before our eyes. Want to play you this. Jeff Meller Audio Man did a great job this morning on Cap and J Hood putting this together. NBC Sports Chicago with the highlights. Lucas Giolito, one of the more dominant no-hitters.
Lucas Giolito on the hill tonight. Coming off his best performance in quite some time. He's 2-2 his ERA in the high threes.
2-2 for Lucas. Oh, wave and a miss. Strike three. First strikeout for Giolito tonight.
This is his best changeup. You saw the dip on that one. That one looked like a waist-high fastball coming out of his hands. You see the spin. It turns away and down to Frazier, and he was no match for that one.
Oh, wave and a miss. Strike three.
Look, the scouting report on Lucas is if he gets a chance, he'll wipe you out with the straight chain.
1-2 for Riddle, and it does. Strike three. Called strike three, a fastball. Lucas has five punch-outs. Well, you didn't miss any Pirate base runners, that's for sure. Oh, strike three called. CB rang him up. Oh, strike three, not his tempo, certainly. Lucas is anything but a double rainbow tonight on 1-2.
And that's
it's
it.
A swing and a miss. It is it. Ninth strikeout for Gio. Two down in the sixth. Up the middle. Tough play. Tim unloads. And got him! Oh, boy!
Jose set himself very well, knew exactly where the ball would hop, and knew he had a short hop. Tim, trying to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible, gets it there. Great pick by Jose on the back end. This one is a dandy.
Every special night has a play like that one. 0-2. Swing and a miss, so he got the sword out. Wizardry from Giolito. Six outs to go.
Lucas at 78 pitches, so still plenty of gas in the tank.
He struck him out, number 11 for Lucas. And five outs to go.
Lucas Giolito at this moment is experiencing an adrenaline surge he has not had all game long.
Two balls, two strikes. Swing and a miss, strike three. Three outs to get. The 25th swing and miss for Lucas Giolito tonight. 2-2. Check swing. He did go strike three. Two outs to get. They sync up in a heartbeat. 1-2. In the air, right-hand side. Adam Engel is there. Two down. And now, the only man to reach base tonight for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Eric Gonzalez. Nobody's here to watch, but everyone at home has their hearts in their throats. On 0-2, to right field, Adam Engel is there! Unknown hitter! The 19th in White Sox history!
How great was that? Great job by Jeff Miller. Awesome job by Jason Benetti. And Steve Stone and NBC Sports Chicago. And, of course, the best job by Giolito.
Amen. How excited was Mason to see that?
I was thinking about waking him up. He was in bed, asleep, long asleep. Remember, these are school days.
You torturous Cubs father.
Oh, come on, Sylvie.
Wow. Dude, look, why don't you,
what a moment.
Wow, don't you think, Barb, listen, if Jim Lonborg or whoever was pitching back in your time, I don't know who your pitchers were. Rick
Kenny
Russell.
Holtzman, you
Rick
know,
Russell. If yeah. Rick Russell's got a no-no going and you're playing a night game, one of the few night games, okay, you don't think your lovely mom goes into your room and wakes you up and has you come out and watch this?
It's easy to pass off me when I'm going to school to the teachers the next day on short rest.
That's a good point.
But Mason is being, we're the teachers now. My wife is a teacher. We're the teachers.
What's more important?
We can't afford to have a miss.
What's more important, baseball, a no-no, or a class the next day?
You know what? Now you're making me feel guilty.
Right.
Now you're making me feel
guilty. You know what?
What do you do for a living?
I'm going to send Mason.
Do you talk sports?
I'm sending
You're
Mason a text.
You're making me feel like crap now.
I'm going to send Mason a text. I know he's got a phone. He probably uses it better than mine. And let him know what his dad kept him from.
All right. I got a fun. Remind me to tell you a story about the phone with Mason, too. He had a funny line to one of my neighbors about that. 2 minutes away. Who is winning this quarterback derby now, and who will win it? We will get the answer not from one person, but seven people who have virtually covered almost every Bears practice. We're calling it the judges' table. They give you their scorecards in 2 minutes.